This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. Before we bring on our special guest, as a former Husker and NFL player, I'm a bit of a health nut. Hydration recovery starts at home. That's why I teamed up with Culligan of Lincoln. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects my water heater and appliances. Their high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water usage for drinking. Add a Culligan Reverse Osmosis bottled quality water right at your tap. Great taste, and it's certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, get up to $300 off a home system or just $9.95 a month for your first 3 months. Schedule your free water test at CulliganHuskers.com. That's CulliganHuskers.com. Culligan of Lincoln, water you love. Go Big Red. All right, somebody threw out to me, what about Harburg? What if he goes to fullback? He's got one of the best blocking grades on the entire team consistently throughout this year. What if we do more fullback runs? Also, Coach K did say there are fantasy leagues, he's in one of them, where there's individual defensive players. I'm no longer suing the NFL. And he did say we are actually going against each other this week in fantasy football. So he wanted to beat me outright? Or I appreciate that. And he says there's also punters. Punters are people, too, in some of these fantasy football leagues as well. All right. At this time, let's bring on our special guest. All right. A man who's been the Tampa Bay Buccaneers strength conditioning coach, Nebraska football strength conditioning coach, helped produce 21 All-Americans, more actually now at this point in time, and had about 20 players go to the NFL as first-round selections. Mr. Dave Kennedy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Oh, life is good. I have zero complaints. All right, question for you. You watch Nebraska play so far this year. A lot of talk about, obviously, the quarterback position, but the trenches. When you watch Nebraska play, you watch them versus Michigan, the trenches starts with physicality, strength, and all that stuff. What's been your impressions of them so far at the line of scrimmage this year?
Well, I don't watch them as much. I watch a Michigan game, and you know, it doesn't matter. What works in middle school, works in high school, works in college, works in the NFL. Run the ball, stop the run, you win the game. I mean, you know, and that formula always works. As much as the offenses get more sophisticated and there's more passing, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Alabama or Nebraska or anybody. You know, whoever wins, not all the time. Turnovers are a factor. You know, quarterback could really light it up and score 5 touchdowns. But over the long haul, it's, you know, run the ball, stop the run, and, you know, you win the game. So that's easy. That's the best way I can put it, you know.
As you watch Nebraska and you watch the Michigan game, you watch the trenches and they get a bye week, what are some of the things from maybe your perspective that can be done over the bye? Because it's hard to make drastic improvements during the year, but sometimes teams come out and they look different after a bye. What are some of the things that can be done during a bye to help make quicker improvements?
Well, it's how you practice, Adam. I mean, if you want to go back to the history of Nebraska football, and I grew up in the state, and you know, I was a student there, a GA there, and then a full-time assistant there. And, you know, if you looked at how Nebraska practiced, I mean, there was nobody got the number of reps at practice that they did. And when we go to a bowl game and practice on grass, if you looked at our grass and you looked at maybe Florida's grass, you know, when we were both practicing on ours looked like you had plowed it over. You know, just it's whether it's inside period, whether it's team, you know, it's tough. And you know, I think what really is happening now as far as player development. I'm not talking about the strength and conditioning, yes, which was my forte. But, you know, with the transfer portal and, you know, everything's trickling down to where college now is more like the NFL when you went into the NFL. And you can't practice like in the NFL like you could in college. I mean, you got all different age groups. You got experience and all that kind of stuff. But the hardening that they've gone through in college to get to the NFL, it pays dividends in the fundamentals, you know, and that can't be done as much. You know, they're paying this guy this much, and if he doesn't play, he leaves. And so that kind of development and you know, the physicality is really tough to do, because I feel like not only strength and conditioning, but it's more like an NFL model, you know, with a NIL and the way things are going. So, you know, you have to practice fast. physical to be physical, you know. The USC is getting all the gruff, you know, and Lincoln Riley is thought of as the best offensive, one of the best offensive minds out there. But, you know, it doesn't matter how many defensive coordinators they hire. They always struggle to stop the run and with their physicality. And they signed great defensive linemen this year. But, you know, you have to practice physical to be physical. And, you know, you have to be gap sound as much as anything. You know, I don't know, you know, just, and I was kind of flipping, you know, when if you get gassed, you know, that's, I don't know what the stats would have been. They fall into the stats, but they had three, you know, monster runs. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question. I kind of went rambling on there, but that's kind of what I think.
No, I think that makes sense. Some of the more physical players you've been around some of the best to ever do it. Your time at Ohio State, Orlando Pace, number one overall pick. You've been, I believe you crossed over with Sue at the Bucks. I could be wrong about that. But I know Levante.
No, I did not. But we redshirted Sue. You were there. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
I fought that one. I like even back then. Like we redshirted Sean Springs when I was at Ohio State, mm-hmm. and he ended up being the number one pick. And Sue was Sue, and you know Dan Wilkinson. We redshirted, and they're if they're that good, they're going to come out early. So you just lose that experience, you know, but. You know, we're running ISO with Orlando Pace and Corey Stringer on the same line. And you know, I think you got to practice physical to be physical. You got to practice tackling the tackle. And that means going, you know, it's tough to do when you're worried about getting this guy's, you know, getting guys hurt, which is never a thing, you know. So it's really how you practice. And I don't know how they're practicing. I'm not judging them. That was just one game. I think, you know, how do you feel about Michigan State? Are they a physical run team?
They're a big team. They got some big lines, some big players. I mean, they're a Big Ten team. Their quarterback is really athletic. He can throw. He can run. He was a former five-star player. So they've got some things they can do. Their talent is not to the level of Nebraska. Maybe they have a little bit of a size advantage just because we're a little smaller on the D-line. Where I was going with my question, though, I mean, you mentioned Sean Springs, Orlando Pace, Joey Galloway, who played for about 1,000 years in the league. Larry Fitzgerald, he actually trained, as you know, at Nebraska under you when he was getting ready for the draft, one of the most physical wide receivers ever. Levante David, I know you had him at the Bucks. Talk to me about the guys who were physical, the guys who were extra physical. What do you think made them that way, like meant from their mental approach?
Well, okay, so you know, I don't think the game of football is in everybody. I mean, it's not in them. Like, you could have – I have three sons, and they're all different. They're all raised the same way. And you know, it's – certain guys could make it pretty far in college and even make it to the NFL and not even like the physicality of the game just because it's so freakishly big or, you know, just so talented. And that will eventually show up. So, yeah, the game of football is not in everybody, just like UFC or boxing or those kind of things, because it is, and you know, the difference between the NFL and college from a physicality standpoint is shocking, you know. And that was my learning. You know, I watched it, and I had all these players come back and all that kind of stuff. But when I came up here, and, you know, I had Mike Evans in college, and then we had Mike Evans here, and he's huge. And you know, but he could manhandle corners. I mean, you could not press him because he would just throw you like a little rat because he's giant, you know. But he came after that first game. We played the Bengals his first game, and he walked in like Frankenstein, walking into the facility. And I go, I mean, I couldn't even believe it because he's bigger than all those. But it's still the physicality, the toll of that, you know, got on him. And you know, the rule, little guys get tired and big guys don't shrink. That holds up. You know, I mean, and you know, if you look at, okay, my sons went to Texas, and so my wife acts like we went to Texas. So Texas game is always going to be on. And with the NIL and stuff, Texas went from having a regular Big 12, you know, defensive line. Now they're as big as anybody, you know. And when Alabama was great, they're eight deep on their defensive front. You know, and the thing that NIL has also changed is that, like, Georgia and Alabama used to have eight defensive linemen that are all four or five stars that they're running in and out, and they're just dominant. Well, now they only have three or four, because if you ain't playing, you're getting out of there and going somewhere else. So it kind of evens it out in a way. And that's why, you know, Alabama won't be as dominant. Georgia won't be as dominant. So, I think the game of football is not in everybody, but size wins. You know, little guys get tired and big guys, little guys get tired and big guys don't shrink, you know.
The instant you said that the Texas game is on every single weekend in your house, I think half our listeners probably turned off the interview. But that's okay. For those that are still there, I've actually shared this story before, but I'll quickly share it again. It was my redshirt freshman year, my first spring practice, and a lot of my friends were going out boating on a lake. It's springtime. It's Saturday. So I'm about to embark on a 1,000-play scrimmage, and I'm a redshirt freshman, going to go against a lot of the starters, you know, Richie, guys like that. And I'm in warm-up lines, and I'm a pretty easy person to read sometimes. I did not have the best attitude, but I did not realize, like, my helmet was on, my face mask and everything. I did not realize I was that easy to read, because I'm standing there doing whatever stretch, and you walk up, and you're just staring at me. You don't say anything for a solid 10, 15 seconds, which isn't long, but it feels like an eternity when you're a freshman who's basically pouting and you got your strength coach just staring a hole through you. You look at me, and you must have been able to figure out kind of where I was at mentally. And you look at me, and you just simply go, football ain't for everybody, and you walked away. So with what you just said to me, I was brought back to that moment in time. And I don't know if I've ever told you this. I remember that, obviously, to this day, but it stuck with me. Like, this ain't for everybody. Either buy in or get out, Adam. And that was honestly a big moment for me going forward. But I got another question for you. And again, I think Corey Campbell, our strength coach, does a great job. But from a strength and conditioning perspective, what kind of role does that actually play when it comes to being physical at the line of scrimmage?
Well, confidence. I mean, the stronger you are, you know, whether you're a five-star, four-star, three, you know, player development is huge. And people mature at different times at different ages. You know, there's all kinds of walk. Here's your Nebraska walk-ons and linemen that have just developed. That is 100% the way to go. Now, in the season, no. Once you're in it, no. That's a huge part. Player development is a huge part. And, Adam, I'm really kind of scared that is not a part of it anymore. Mm-hmm. Where, and I'm not judging any strength coaches in college. You don't have 6 a.m. for 2 weeks in the middle of the winter. I mean, with and that kind of stuff. And if you pay a certain lineman, you know, that guy's going to play. If you pay a certain quarterback, that guy's going to play. So if you pick the wrong guy, then you're kind of stuck. But player development is huge. And, you know, from a player perspective too, you know, with the NIL, they've got a certain amount of money, or they're a four-star, and that ranking is still, you know, carries way too much weight. I mean, it's like winning or losing a bowl game based on your recruiting class, five-star and four-star and things like that. But if you're a four-star and you don't play, then you aren't trying to develop. You just say, I'm going somewhere else. I mean, I'm getting screwed. And with social media and everything, you got to deal with your family. They're saying, hey, what's going on? What's the problem? How come you're not playing? You got all these hype going in. You're getting a certain amount of money. And then it's a lot on them mentally. You know, it really is, because not only do they have to deal with, hey, they're not good enough to be playing right now, but they also have to answer these questions. Well, you should be playing and all that kind of stuff, which just makes it exponentially harder for everybody who's trying to coach him, you know. But the number one thing, you know, and this, I'm getting down on philosophy of coaching and stuff. If it's going to play, everybody wants to get better. And if it's going to make them better, if they know, you know, that they're going to get better by doing it, they'll do anything. All the other things I just said are completely true. But the greatest motivator is, you know, the success of the program. Because and if they know that your best interest is their best interest, not trying to impress the head coach, not trying to get the next job, not trying to do this or change when the head coach comes around, they'll do anything for you. So you know, if they have the ability to go really hard in the off season and things like that, but player development still should be paramount. And you go to practice? Do they go hard on the inside? I mean, on open day, is there a scrimmage? If there was open week when Coach Osborne was there, you'd scrimmage on Wednesday and Saturday. I mean, so like, you know, with the numbers of where they are now and things like that, nobody does that. But like I said, that drifts down from, you know, it's more like an NFL kind of, you know, how many times you go in pads during the whole season in the NFL. So if that trickles down, then the fundamentals are lost on that.
I mean, that's a great point. College football is more like the NFL than it's ever been. It's getting more like that. It's funny you brought up the 6 a.m. workouts. I still remember the 2 weeks of hell from Callahan when he first got there. Our workout started at 6. You had to be taped, which meant, God, 150-plus guys at that point getting taped. Like, you had to get up at 4:15 to be ready to go at 6. And I'm still convinced to this day you guys pretty much tried to get as many guys to quit as you possibly could because he didn't like the size of the roster. But, those were workouts. They weren't for everybody. But, hey, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time, and it's good to hear from you as always.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And now that you've cut me off, I can bring up the Richie Incognito Adam Carriker fight.
Oh boy,
that nobody talks about, but was really kind of pretty much the last straw for Richie, you know. But and that was something to see. And that was one of those things where everybody knows when they can jump into certain fights and break it up because nobody's really going to do anything. But that's something you didn't want to jump right in the middle of that one. So I'll leave you on that, and you guys have a great day.
Well, real quick, since you brought it up, what was your perspective on that? Because I haven't talked about that thing in years, but what was your perspective on it?
Well, you know, Coach Callahan was super against fighting because he went through all that. Romanowski broke a player's jaw on the line and kind of separated the team. So, and you know, Richie wanted to fight all the time, every time, you know, and he would absolutely punk you if you you know, if he could. And that was his, you know, he'd love to do that. And so there's no problem with that. That's great. I mean, if a guy tries to punk you and you let him, then he's just a punk. So it doesn't matter, you know, Richie's reputation or anything like that. And really, fights in full pads, there's really, I mean, you two are giant dudes anyway. There's not a real threat of other than breaking your hand swinging at somebody with a helmet or something, you know. So, yeah, no, I have no problem with it. I thought, you know, and that was before you were world famous. And so it was kind of a, you know, it really was. It was a coming out party for Adam Carriker.
So from my perspective, I think it was going into my sophomore year, so I hadn't started yet. It was a goal line scrimmage, and Richie had moved from tackle to center.
No question. Yeah. I know where it is.
Yeah, it was going. It was in the north end zone. Richie had gone to center. Lakeven Smith was out that day. So Kaz looked at me and said, "You go to nose," which meant I went against Richie, which I had done a million times my first 2 years there, so no big deal. I'd seen him get in a million fights. And I've always said I kind of respected him because he would fight you if you were a DB, if you were a lineman, if you were a big name, if you were no name. I saw him try to fight all four starting defensive linemen at once and not back down when I was redshirting. I couldn't believe what I was watching. So I actually respected him. Didn't love everything about it, but I respected it. And I'm like, how in the world, with all the times I've gone against Richie, has he not swung on me yet? At some point he's going to. He did. I had a game plan, and the rest is history. So, yeah.
That's good. Well, that's where you come out. And here's the thing. Once you go there with a guy, he won't go there anymore. I mean, you know, once you've had that, you know, he's just going to see if he could punk you, then, and that happens in NFL games all the time. Guys make guys quit. I mean, you could, it's kind of easy to, and I'm talking too much. You got to go to the next session, but like there's all different forms of quitting.
Yep.
I mean, it's obvious, you know, certain times, but you could stay on a block to not be in the play if you're worried about trying to tackle Barry Sanders or Gray Back or whoever it is, you know, and especially on the front, you know, you've been there where especially if you could take a defensive lineman just kind of shut down, you know, if a guy he knows he can't get anywhere, and that's just another form of quitting. So, and also, you know, you could really get in offensive lineman's head where he can't even function. You know, and it's amazing. I didn't think about it. For your length and where you end up playing, play nose, that's a tribute. I mean, just to even go in there. I mean, you know, you are built like a nose. I mean, that's really that kind of length and your levers. I mean, that's really not conducive to playing nose. But that was a coming out party, man.
Yeah, as a sophomore, I was 270 when he told me to go play nose. But there was literally for one practice. It wasn't a big deal. Actually, my highlight of that whole thing was Barrett Rood coming up to me afterwards, and he goes, I'm so happy you did that. And he just walked away. Anyways, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining me. All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.